One gospel in the Old Testament and in the New. Abraham was saved the same way as you and I. The gospel of Abraham was the gospel of Paul. Paul said in Galatians 3 verse 8 that Abraham had the gospel preached to him. The church didn't begin at Pentecost. The church began in the Garden of Eden. That is a part of Reformed doctrine. It is a covenant view of the gospel. There is the covenant of grace, which is an arrangement between the Father and the Son. That's the covenant of grace.
Welcome again to Let the Bible Speak. This is Ian Gallagher, and we're closing off this series on cults and other religions with part two of this message on Are We as Free Presbyterians Reflecting the True Church of the Lord Jesus? That's a very important question as we flip the coin, having looked at all the cults, various religions. We need to be able to examine ourselves in the light of God's Word. In the light of what the Bible teaches, we need to know that we are true worshipers in the true church of the Lord Jesus, so that when that great day, when the trumpet sounds, that when the roll is called up yonder, we know that we shall be there. Now, I want to balance this with the truth that a church cannot save a person's soul. An earthly institution is unable to change the status of a sinner into a saint. Only God, by the power of the gospel, can work that within a man or woman, boy or girl's heart. And that is the power of the new birth, whereby we are born again by the Spirit, and we are justified by the saving work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course it is for this truth that we have been contending over this month of March, as we have looked at a good many of the cults and false religions. Now we come to this question: are we the true church of the Lord Jesus? I hope you have your Bible in hand. We'll be looking at the marks of a true church. We will be looking at the titles or terms that we use to distinguish and set forth the pure and true message of the gospel of the Lord Jesus. So thank you for being a part of the program today. At the close, we'll be giving you a further insight of what's on here at the Free Presbyterian Church. And we look forward to having you join with us either in person or by webcast. All these details coming up. Thank you for being a part of the program as we let the Bible speak. Now we have our first message in song.
Jesus, the very thought of thee, with sweetness fills my breast. But sweet of thy face to see, and in thy presence rest. O thou the balsam of the garden, O thou the sweet rose of Sharon, thou art the lily of the valley, how shall I part with thee? No voice can sing, no heart can frame, nor can the memory find a sweeter sound than Jesus' name, the Savior of mankind. O thou the balsam of the garden, O thou the sweet rose of Sharon, thou art the lily of the valley, how shall I part with thee? But what to those who find not this, nor tongue nor pen can show the love of Jesus, what it is, none but his loved ones know. O thou the balsam of the garden, O thou the sweet rose of Sharon, thou art the lily of the valley, how shall I part with thee?
So we use the term fundamental. We also use the term evangelical. Now, For some reason, among some Reformed circles, the word evangelical is almost the sign of being an Arminian. That is not the case. We, of course, preach the good news of the gospel. Evangelical is the Greek word evangelion, means the good news of the gospel. And we want to be engaged in preaching a Christ-centered mission. And it ought to be the church's passion to preach the good news that the Lord Jesus Christ saves from sin. And that ought to be central. And I know there are many other aspects to a church and church life and church fellowship, but spreading the good news of the gospel ought to be the focus. It ought to be the bullseye target. It ought to be the main work. It ought to be the endeavor, the burden, the passion of God's people. And the church of Christ is built for that. This building was erected with a burden to spread the gospel. The preacher, he goes to seminary that he might come out a man equipped to preach Jesus Christ to sinners and tell them this good news. Our Sunday school and each one of our teachers need to be focused on the Great Commission to give boys and girls the good news of the gospel. Yes, boys and girls need to know Bible history, Bible geography, Bible people, but they need to know the story of the cross and the way of redemption, what sin has done, what Christ has done for sinners. And so the church needs to be thoroughly evangelical. Now, in that, we hold to a born-again membership. You cannot become a member of the Free Presbyterian Church unless you can bear testimony that you personally have been born again. You have been converted, regenerated, indwelt by the Holy Spirit. You may have grown up in the church. You may have learned the catechism, Bible verses. Your head is stuffed with Christian evangelical knowledge, but your heart could be like stone. And the Free Presbyterian Church calls itself evangelical because we hold to a born-again membership. Because if you do not hold to born-again members, you're going to end up with deacons that are not born again, elders that are not born again, and ministers that are not born again. So it starts at membership. And you might not be ready to give that testimony, and we will invite you to hear the gospel. We want you to sit under God's word. We want you to be present in the life of the church. But when you apply for a member, we want to know that you can clearly testify that you're born again of the Spirit. That's evangelical. Under that heading, I would add, we preach the doctrine of justification by faith alone. Martin Luther called it the standing or falling doctrine of the church. And it's true. The church that ceases to proclaim and insist upon justification by faith alone will fall. And it'll fall like a house of cards, like snow of a ditch, because it is the essential, defining truth of the gospel. Number four, the next term we use, is Presbyterian and Reformed. And Presbyterian really being a method of government. Presbyter is an elder, usually referring to an older man. That's the Greek term, presbyter, older man. And a mature man, someone who is solid, strong in the faith. And the church is governed by elders. And in Presbyterianism, every church is to have elders. If the church doesn't, they should be praying for them. They should be seeking to install, as soon as possible, elders who will assist the minister to govern the church. And it is a form of church government. The word Reformed refers to a method of Bible interpretation, and it really holds to the position that we believe that there is one gospel. One gospel in the Old Testament and in the New. Abraham was saved the same way as you and I. The gospel of Abraham was the gospel of Paul. Paul said in Galatians 3 verse 8 that Abraham had the gospel preached to him. The church didn't begin at Pentecost. The church began in the Garden of Eden. That is a part of Reformed doctrine. It is a covenant view of the gospel. There is the covenant of grace, which is an arrangement between the Father and the Son. That's the covenant of grace. There is the covenant of works that Adam was brought into in the Garden of Eden, by which he sinned and plunged the world into sin. And then the covenant of grace, looking unto Jesus. Abel looked unto Jesus. Every Old Testament believer was saved, not by the blood of animals, although that was the outward token and symbol of Calvary, but they were able to see Christ. It tells us that Abram rejoiced in Christ's day. So we are not dispensationalists. We are not Arminians. We are Reformed. And we believe in a Trinitarian gospel. And I've got three proof texts here. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. And you'll notice that all three persons of the Trinity are involved in a person's salvation. Peter chapter 1, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. So there's the Father. He does the electing. Through the sanctification of the Spirit. Well, they're not in the normal order we take the three persons, but here they are. Unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. And so here is the Trinity in your salvation. The Father chose you. The Son bought you. The Holy Spirit sanctified you or set you apart, called you, and indwells you by the grace of the gospel. Back to Ephesians chapter 1, you have the exact same statement of the Trinitarian nature of the gospel. Ephesians 1 verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. And there you have the two persons, Father and the Son. And then verse 5, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his own will. And then verse 13, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. There's the three persons of the Trinity involved in a man or woman's salvation and redemption. It is a single gospel, one church, one faith, one baptism, one hope for all believers, Old Testament and New, until Jesus comes again. And he is. That is certainly a very important part of the gospel that we preach. Now, it's a sure gospel because it's predestinated. We are pre-programmed for destiny, for glory. It is absolutely certain. God doesn't say to any man, I'll do so much for you and you do the rest. That's not the gospel. The gospel is God's all-encompassing, A to Z, Alpha to Omega. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. And Philippians 1:6 says, he that hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. So we have eternal security in Christ. We believe in the absolute security of the believer. When you're saved, you're sure of heaven. Now the Lord is our keeper, and he by his grace and by his Spirit will perform that work in our hearts. Now we have one more term that we use, and that is the word separatist. And some people might say, well, these free Presbyterians are always talking about being separatist. Well, let's explain that tonight. What are we separate from? Well, we're separate from false religions, that's for sure. And that's why we would even take on such a series as this. There were a number of people who thanked me for being courageous enough to take on this series on cults and false religions. They said that many churches wouldn't do this, wouldn't touch this, especially with Roman Catholicism and some other religions. They're all into this uniting and trying to whittle one another down to the lowest common denominator. But we are separate from false religions, whether it's cults, Roman Catholicism, apostate Protestantism, any false gospel, any shape or form, and not one penny of donations, offerings that come into this church will go to a false gospel. I can guarantee that. Is it preached by weak men? Yes. Is it preached imperfectly? Yes. Are our missionaries supermen and women? No. They are just seeking the grace of God to uphold them in the ministry of presenting Jesus Christ to lost souls. And we can guarantee to you in this church, because we're separatists, that your donations will never find its way to a questionable ministry or an outright apostate ministry. Every penny goes to the work of the gospel. We're also separate from the world unto holy living. We as a church have standards of personal godliness. And what the Bible calls sin, we call sin, and we expect every member of our church to call sin. We do not say, well, that's your decision and your conscience. What the Bible calls sin is sin. And we have to also emphasize that Christianity, biblical Christianity, is the spirit of repentance from the world. And if you do not hate the world, despise the world, and turn your back upon the world, then you're not a separatist. You want to be engaged in pursuing and going after the pleasure crazes of this world, then that's not biblical Christianity, and I don't think you're ready to become a Free Presbyterian voting member. Now, this is not a killjoy religion. We believe that holiness is happiness. And for the person who's regenerate and born again, the only way that a real Christian can be happy is when they're holy. Being godly and Christ-like will make you happy. That's what you were saved for. And 1 Peter 1 tells us, be ye holy, for I am holy. That's your command. And if you're interested in holiness, well, you're a long way to being a Free Presbyterian. That's the spirit that we're of. Separate from false worship. Now today, the church is under attack in a very subtle manner. People want to change the styles of worship. And whether it's music or ceremonies or drama or many other new fads or just changing the whole thing, you know, with benches. This is old-fashioned. Benches? Never mind the color, they're orange. That's a separate issue. But to have people sitting in benches, that's old school in church life today. They want to be free to do different things, to do things different ways. Set up the stage, and the drama, the rock music. They want to imitate the Hollywood superstars and the rock stars. They dress like them. They seek to behave like them. And, of course, they lose any sense of reverence and godliness. We are separate from that. And if a person chooses that that's the way they're going to worship God, we will not join them. We will not go that way. It is counterproductive. Now, as a denomination being separatist, it means that if you go to any one of our churches in our denomination, whether it's in Canada or the United States or on the mission field, Calgary, Ontario, Fredericton, New Hampshire, Kansas, Phoenix, Orlando, Greenville, South Carolina, North Carolina, Philadelphia, any of our churches. If you go to our churches, you're going to find the same standard against false worship. That's what it means when a denomination is separatist. We're in this together. And we stand against false religion, unholy living, false worship. And this is only achievable when a presbytery determines this is the standard that we expect of every member church, every ordained minister that's in this denomination, every student that applies. He signs on these terms that he's going to serve the Lord and worship the Lord as a separatist. And the day that we are ashamed of the word separatist, we're in trouble. We need to be using this term not because we want to be isolationists. And I want to prove to you in Romans 1:1 that this term is not isolationist. It's not negative. It is indeed the will of God. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. We're not separated to be hiding in a corner. We're separated to take on the world to preach this gospel on these terms, in this way, separated unto the gospel of God. With all our foibles, warts, and wrinkles, Free Presbyterians in this denomination is determined to reflect the true church of Jesus Christ on earth. We are an imperfect church made of imperfect members. And the man who thinks that he's joining a church that's perfect is going to be very, very disappointed. Mr. Spurgeon said, if you find a church that's perfect, don't join it, because the moment you join it, it'll be imperfect. We are all imperfect people, sinners saved by grace, with all our weaknesses and all our needs, striving to be Christ-like, to be conformed more and more to the image of God's dear Son. And that's a sanctifying process. It's an ongoing work. And there's people come in the doors of this church, and they're anything but unholy, but what a joy it is to preach the gospel to them. What a joy to tell them of our Savior. And what a joy it is when, by God's grace, they bow the knee and accept Christ as their Redeemer. And they're still rough and raw, and they need a lot of help. And that's the work of the church, to minister, to guide, to shepherd, to come alongside, to pray, and to build up weak, struggling believers in the faith of the Lord Jesus. And so we say tonight, without pride or without pomp, conscious of all our weaknesses and our failures, and I know when I stand before God, I'll have an awful lot to answer for, but we, by God's grace, truly, genuinely, honestly, endeavor to be the true members of the true church of Jesus Christ on earth. I will guarantee to you that if you make this your church home or get involved in this church ministry, and should you one day become a member of this church, that we will hold you to this biblical standard that we presented tonight. If you fall into sin, we will seek to recover you. We'll plead for your repentance. If you rebel against the gospel and against the truth of the gospel, we will have to exercise that discipline that may be used of God to bring you to your senses and to lead you back to fellowship with God and with His people. That's serious business. Now let me ask you, what kind of church are you standing with? Is it a true, genuine effort to stand up for Jesus Christ in our day? I draw your attention to a little statement that's in the notes. It's from my homiletics professor. He said that Christians that don't join a church are like spiritual gypsies whose religion is in their feet. As a young man, I remembered that one. I hope you'll remember it too. Don't drift. Don't go from place to place and do nothing. Get serious. Find the right church. Pray about it. Don't take my word. Pray about it. Get before God and say, Lord, it's your will for me to be in a church that reflects the truth, the true church of Jesus Christ on earth. Lord, lead me. And when the Lord leads you, obey. And don't live for years on this. Don't live for years on this. Life's too short. Life will soon be over.
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, and today we are dealing with the interpretation of the Scriptures. And In some ways, it's a complex matter to really handle the Bible. It takes some skill and it takes some understanding. And it takes the teaching of the Holy Spirit. There is a story of a missionary in Korea who had a visit from a native convert who lived 100 miles away, who walked 4 days to reach the mission station. The pilgrim recited proudly, without a single mistake, the whole of the Sermon on the Mount. The missionary was delighted, but he felt that he ought to warn the man that memorizing was not enough, that it was necessary to practice the words as well as to memorize them. The Korean's face lit up with happy smiles. "That is the way I learned it," he said. "I tried to memorize it, but it wouldn't stick. So I hit upon this plan. I would memorize a verse and then find a heathen neighbor of mine and would practice it on him. Then I found it would stick." What a great policy. Put it into practice, and the truth as well as the blessing of the Word of God will indeed stick. Let me challenge you to read, meditate, memorize the Scriptures, but better still, put it into practice. You can do it in your marriage. You can do it in your home with your family. You can do it in the workplace. You can do it even before God in prayer today. Just take God's word and go to the Lord with that and say, "Lord, I will do it. I will put it into practice. Give me the grace. Give me the wisdom to put into practice the things that I read and learn in your word." And then surely the Bible will stick. And above all, I pray that it will be the means of your salvation, that you will claim the promises as your own, call on the Lord to be your own Savior, and not just learn about others, but become a Christian yourself. That's the end and aim of the gospel message. May the Lord bless you today. Thank you for listening to our Let the Bible Speak broadcast. This is Ian Gallagher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca. You'll also find our podcast button on the top of the homepage of our website. We are on the air Sundays 9:30 a.m., for our full church broadcast, and Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m., on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services, Sundays 10:30 and 6 p.m. Yes, we have an evening preaching service in our church at 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view our church services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-576-1091. The mailing address is 18790 58 Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S1M6. We are located 2 blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188 Street. We also have a church in Victoria, 733 Van Alman Avenue, Sundays 10:30 and 6. Our website again is www.ltbs.ca. Remember to join us here again on the station, Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. as we let the Bible speak.